Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us. My name is Jariana Rodriguez. I am the Resource Development Manager for ACCDC Metro. We are joined today by Stephanie Younger from the Black Feminist Collective as we talk about her organization, racial justice, and the Black Lives Matter movement. So thank you so much for joining us. Can you tell us about the organization, why it was created, and what you do for the organization itself?
Well, Black Feminist Collective is a publication that I created in 2017 in light of what I experienced earlier that year. So I was on a robotics team that refused to teach me how to code because I was Black. But not only Black, but also female. I was a Black girl. And, you know, like when I asked why they wouldn't teach me how to code, they accused me of acting out or being ungracious and snapping. So, and a few months before that happened, the white girl that I worked with invited me to go with her to the women's march, and she did not give me the same solidarity in my time of need, which was problematic. So it was in response to white feminists as a whole who do the same. And at the time, I always thought that I had to choose between my race and advocating for my race or advocating for my gender. But then I quickly realized that Black cis men are often the face of Black liberation, white cis women are the face of the feminist movement. So I created it as a space for Black people as a whole to express what they believe in.
Well, thank you so much for doing that. You're doing so much and so young, so you should be very proud of that alone, besides everything else that you had to go through. So can you tell me about the pieces that you've written, and then which one do you consider your favorite?
It's okay, I have more than one favorite.
Yes, of course.
Okay, yeah. Well, some of my favorites are interviews that I've done with other people. One of my interviews is with Nupal Kiazolu, who is the president of Black Lives Matter Greater New York. And next interview that I did was with Patrice Cullors, who is co-founder of Black Lives Matter Global Network. And then my other favorite interview is with Habana Chapman Edwards, who first made headlines by being the only student at her school to participate in the walkouts in 2018. And some of my other favorites are ones that call white liberals, well-intentioned white liberals, in to challenge their privilege, to go beyond checking their privilege and to challenge their privilege. And those have been a bunch of articles about that. We're in a bunch of articles.
Lots of favorites. Is there something in particular about these interviews that made it, you know, so impactful for you?
Well, it's inspired me to amplify other people's voices, not just through interviews, but also through publishing other people's work.
So how do you think what you do brings forth these issues? How do you think it raises the awareness of the issues that the Black community faces every day?
So I think it raises awareness in a way that's accessible to people who can't go out to protest, but who have social media and you have the internet. So social media is a 21st century tool that is accessible to this generation. The only form of activism doesn't just exist in the streets. It could also exist on social media. And, you know, that's what we're seeing now, that social media works. Like the hashtag defund the police, you know, it's also being delivered in the streets, but it's also being, that message is also being delivered in, you know, around social media. And we see that change is being manifested. You know, people have reached out to me and said that they understand things, but they reflected on their actions, on their own actions. They put themselves in check, that they've put other people in check for the ways they intentionally or unintentionally marginalize Black people, especially Black women.
That can be a useful tool at times. Not all the time, but yes, definitely, definitely now. So my next question, as an organization that often focuses on racial justice, how have you responded to the recent rise in protests and increased media coverage outrage centered on the Black Lives Matter movement?
Yeah, so what I did about a week ago, 2 weeks ago, you know, I delivered in response to the police brutality, not only the police brutality, but the apathy of people, the apathy that people have towards the fight for Black lives and the apathy that people have towards my activism. in my organizational work. What I did was I delivered an extemporaneous call to action to well-intentioned white liberals. And I was actually compiling like a call to action to them. So I started by delivering Martin Luther King's letter from Birmingham jail. And the part where he says he's gravely disappointed with the white moderate. And yeah, so I called on white people to, you know, to not just post these black screens on Instagram, because this was in response to white people who have unfollowed me, blocked me, unfriended me on social media for speaking out and taking action against anti-black racism. These were also white people who have told me that my work isn't real or valid or effective, or I don't remember, like somehow, quote, not real activism. And now it's like, it was after having that said to me months earlier, it's kind of interesting seeing them posting black screens and, you know, being out in the streets protesting when they see it as a trend and not as an actual fight for black lives. So I did that, and, you know, I turned that extemporaneous speech into an article that I wrote about call to action to white liberals. And I've also given my platform to other people who want to share their thoughts on like police brutality and wanted to share their thoughts about the criminalization of dissent, and who want to, you know, who just love black people, who want to share their love with black people.
That's amazing. I mean, really, you've done so much, again, at such a young age. It's very impressive to me.
Thank you.
So as a woman, as a young woman, what does this movement mean to you? And I ask this because for me, as a feminist, I understand that my feminism is very different from a white woman's feminism. And understanding that it's so complex, this feminist movement, the same goes for the Black Lives Matter movement. It means something completely different for women. So what does it mean to you?
You know, Black Lives Matter means a lot to me because it was what inspired me to become an activist in the first place. You know, like I, along with Angela Davis and the co-founders of Black Lives Matter movement as a whole. Yeah, it means a lot, like to see, someone who used to think that, you know, Black liberation, someone who internalized that Black liberation was only for like cis Black men. You know, like people often, a lot of other Black people internalize that too. But, you know, Black liberation is in, as well, it should be for everyone in the Black community. So to see three Black women who are queer and immigrant, you know, it actually changed my mindset for the better. Mm-hmm. And it made me like understand like intersectionality better. Yeah. Which is a term coined by Kimberly Crenshaw, which acknowledges how oppressive systems as a whole intersect with each other. And the womanist movement was started by Alice Walker, and she started this in response to white feminists who only advocate for their own best interests, but not the interests of women as a whole. Like as we see in the suffrage movement, Black women were literally forced to march in the back of marches for women's suffrage, and we were excluded from their 19th Amendment, which only gave white women the right to vote, but not Black women. Black women were not allowed to vote until 1965. So it means a lot, like, for seeing that three Black women co-founded the movement as a whole, you know, helped me, like, unlearn that. Learning what intersectionality was helped me unlearn that.
Very well said.
Thank you.
So how do you think that allies, and obviously we can include those who, even though they mean well, don't quite get what this is all about. So how do you think that allies in the fight for racial justice can contribute in a meaningful way?
Well, in this fight, I'd like to see allies continue fighting even after like the word protest isn't trending on Twitter anymore. And I'd like to see them continue fighting by putting other white people in check for the ways they enforce anti-Black racism, but also themselves in check. And from what I've seen, a lot of white people have, white well-intentioned and self-proclaimed white allies have tried to police the way that I would like to vote or the way I would show dissent or just the way I would protest in general. But that's not the problem here. Allyship is, I think it's more of practicing allyship than it is about being an ally. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to see white allies, instead of coming after me, I'd like to see them, ask white women why they would vote for Trump, why 53% of them who voted in 2016 voted for Trump. And I'd like to see them, before policing the way I would vote or I would protest, I'd like to see them read why Martin Luther King was so gravely disappointed with the white moderate, namely the part where he said, the white moderate who constantly says, I agree with the goal that you're seeking, but can't agree with your methods of direct action. Or the white moderate who waits for a more convenient season and who can set the timetable for another person's liberation. He said something like that. I'd like to see them not only read, but I'd like to see them act on their claim that they're allies. And if they can't protest, they can donate online to organizations. They can protect Black people from racist trolls online. And they can call on social media platforms like Facebook and Instagram to stop taking down Black people's posts about racism, because it's a lot more than holding a sign. Oh, and one more thing, I also like them to stand with Black people instead of speaking for them. Mm-hmm. And that might mean passing up an opportunity. I've said this in one of my articles, passing up an opportunity to speak on a panel about stopping police brutality, or passing up an opportunity to speak at a rally about police violence, because, this is about passing the mic. This isn't about speaking for Black people. This is about passing the mic to us and amplifying our voices, because Black people are not voiceless. Mm-hmm. And we have a voice. We just need it to be uplifted by white people practice allyship and to amplify our intellectual and organizational work instead of asking for labor, for our labor win, for our labor, for something that they can Google or don't co-opt at work.
I mean, I agree with everything you said. I will only add one thing, and this is coming from my own experience, is to note that racism occurs even within minority groups, and it starts very early. And I say that because I'm Hispanic. I was born and raised in Puerto Rico, and I've seen what colorism does to your friends, your family members, and how it's ingrained in you through years and years of experience. And then when you grow up and you're an adult and you're doing those microaggressions yourself, that you sort of don't realize, right? But
yeah.
Now you're an adult and you're fully capable of sort of consciously taking that into perspective and understanding that is something that's wrong. Yeah. So I think that it's also with a responsibility within our minority groups to understand, okay, this is what we're doing wrong. We have to change. We have to change, and it starts with our young. So mm-hmm. That's the only other thing I would add, but absolutely, I agree with everything you said.
I agree. And something that I'd like to see for, for Black people who are privileged, I'm a Black woman, but I'm a light-skinned Black woman. I'm also cisgendered, heterosexual, and have a lot of other privileges as well. And, something that I'd like to see Black people with privilege is to acknowledge how other Black people like intersectionality, how it applies to Black people as well. It doesn't just apply to race and gender. To acknowledge that intersectionality just doesn't apply to systems of racism and systems of misogyny. It also applies to colorism and ableism, homophobia and transphobia. I'd like to see that as well.
We all have a part to play. That's the way I see it, is that regardless of white, Black, regardless of where you are, what position you're in, we all have a part to play, and we have to acknowledge that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, any more questions?
Yes, one more question. So how can viewers and listeners interested in your organization support you and your cause?
Well, people have been asking me if I have a donation thing, but right now I'm not accepting donations. But the best thing that can be done right now is to pass on this opportunity to other Black people, and, you know, to amplify it on your platforms, to amplify Black Feminist Collective on your platforms, and to support our writers as well.
Excellent. So thank you so much for joining us and just talking to us about the work that you do. I think that what you do, it's great to raise awareness of so many important issues. And I commend you for that. Thank you. It's an honor not only to do this interview, but just to talk about these issues with another fellow woman, which is always nice. So for more information, just feel free to reach out to us by email or phone, or go to our website at acc-dc.org. Thank you so much.
Thank you.